This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Don Schulman, Chief Technology Officer of Pegasystems, and we're talking about today's blockchain announcement.
Nice to be here. I've been with Pega for a little over 20 years. I'm responsible for working with our product teams on our product strategy and our product go-to-market.
You've taken an interesting view of blockchain today. Most companies look at blockchain and they say to their customers, we have a blockchain solution, or go and build a blockchain solution. You've done something different. You've created a blockchain innovation kit to enable your customers to actually build it themselves with stuff you've delivered, including templates, smart contracts, and everything else. Why did you take that choice?
To clarify, I think we've taken in the kit two approaches. One of the big things, and just to kind of step back from that for a little bit, we've really been focused on ensuring that as technology goes up the hype cycle curve, we're helping our customers drive some actual real and measurable usable business value from it. Blockchain is one of those technologies right now that's on that upswing of the hype cycle curve. There's a lot of noise about what it is. There's still a decent amount of confusion in the market as to where the real value is, where blockchain actually can apply to a solution and give a better solution than you can actually get with existing technologies. Quite honest, there are a number of business cases where all blockchain does is give you a less efficient solution to a problem that we already have a way of solving. The first thing that we did when we looked at blockchain was beyond the sort of technical things of, well, let's do a POC and make sure that we can plug into Ethereum and make sure that we can generate a contract of which then we can do some of the servicing on the back end, was looking across our portfolio as to, well, where do we see a real business case for this? And the place that we've landed, and we've represented this inside the innovation kit, is in the area of what's called KYC CLM, which is Know Your Customer, Customer Lifecycle Management, which in the banking space is an area where banks have to, as part of their due diligence against clients, go through a pretty hefty set of document examination and regulatory checks, etc. And especially if you're in the commercial banking world, where you're onboarding complex corporate entities, that can be a really, really painful process. It's a process that's pretty expensive for the bank to do. It's also fraught with risk, because if they mess it up, there are regulatory impacts and fines, etc. Where we see the opportunity for blockchain there is for banks operating in a consortium to be able to use the blockchain to share the documents that make up that due diligence. If I'm a corporate entity and I go through the onboarding process with Bank A and now my documents are available and on the chain and I have a key to those documents, I can take that key over to Bank B and say, guess what? Onboarding me just got a lot easier because we've already pulled some of that due diligence together.
What actually do you see on the blockchain? Because one of the issues is the inefficiency when we get to very large blocks. When we look at trade finance, when we look at supply chain, we're not talking about holding all of the custom documentation, just the metadata. Is this what you envisage actually being in play here?
What we envisage being in play is some of the metadata around the documentation for validating it, and in some cases, the documentation, if it fits inside the scope of what the chain can handle and manage. The other thing to keep in mind is we see this as a private or authorized blockchain solution, not a public blockchain. This would be a chain that is shared among the banks in the consortiums.
How do you see the banks sharing that? Because if we look at compliance legislation, it's very strict on what banks can share internally, let alone with each other. One of the challenges here will be who owns the nodes on which those records are sat. Now, if those nodes were held by the individual companies, that's a different thing. They have control completely. When it's owned by the banks, they don't control the nodes. How do you see this playing out?
There's going to need to be, one, some agreement between the banks as to where those actual specific individual nodes live. As the chain plays out, those nodes may begin to distribute across the banks. But most importantly, this is all in the context of the authorization of the client. So it's the client who maintains the final control of, do I allow this documentation that exists on me to be distributed across the bank? So it's the client who's driving the authorization by the bank by providing keyed access into the chain.
Distributed or accessed? Because, of course, distribution is a basic function.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, accessed, as opposed to truly always distributed. Correct, yeah.
What platform do you see this being built on? You've gone with Ethereum as the blockchain option. If we look at Hyperledger and we look at where IBM's been going with banking customers and commercial customers, they've taken the option of using their own hardware in their own cloud, setting up multiple nodes, and therefore bringing Hyperledger in sitting on top. Everybody knows what is where and how it runs. It also means for the customers, they don't have to think about hardware, they don't have to think about connectivity, all of this comes together. They don't have to worry about what they're going to deploy. You, of course, are not a hardware vendor. Are you talking with your cloud partners, bearing in mind you've just brought Google on board as well, about having a cloud-based solution into which people would build their blockchain programs and then deploy into a cloud that you would control?
A lot of this is going to be, and one of the reasons why we've, I think, positioned this as the innovation kit, is I think we are going to need to work through this with the first set of the clients that we actually do this for. And the first other thing that needs to happen, and this to me is, I think, one of the primary questions that needs to exist in all this blockchain, the first thing that needs to happen is the banks need to actually have the organizational relationships to make this work before you even bother to put the technology in place. Where I think there are continued open questions around who's going to drive the hardware? Where is it going to live? Is it going to be cloud-based? Is it going to be private entities across the bank? That's something that as we begin to explore this solution with our banking clients, we'll begin to tease out as we get into some of those initial implementations. But the goal of the innovation kit was to provide something out to our clients in the banking space that said, from our perspective and our understanding of both the technology, but also our understanding of the business needs specifically around KYC CLM, we see a potential for this technology to drive value. Let's make sure that we've got the pieces in place that allow you to now explore what that solution can mean.
KYC is going to be a limited set. It's a limited number of people, limited number of organizations, a controllable environment. If we talk about CLM, customer lifecycle management, if we think of it in a banking sense, we've got an interesting challenge internally. The upselling of banks, the mis-selling by banks becomes a challenge. But we're talking about customer numbers in the thousands, the tens of thousands, potentially the millions. If we look at it in the wider CLM environment, let's say a marketing department inside a company, that suddenly becomes quite a bigger complex.
Our initial focus is on the specific KYC problem that organizations have where there is high cost associated to the due diligence. And this is an opportunity to mitigate that. So this is a relatively lower volume, higher complexity solution, as opposed to thinking about this expanding into a broader, say, consumer marketing problem. That's also, I think, sort of one of those places where I'm not personally convinced that blockchain is necessarily the right solution for that. The way it operates both at scale and at a level of efficiency, I'm not necessarily convinced that either from a organizational logistic perspective or even from a technology perspective, the blockchain's the right play there.
Well, one of the interesting parts with what you've offered to your customers here is you've also offered smart contracts. And smart contracts from a banking perspective has another big benefit. They deal in contracts all the time. Every loan, every bank account, every engagement with your bank is contractual. This opens the door then, as well as know your customer, once the bank understands that customer, they could then start to build smart contracts to control the financial side of that, which becomes much more interesting. Is that what you were thinking of when you started to put the smart contracts in? Or were the smart contracts there purely simply because Ethereum, of course, requires you to play a smart contract game?
Our initial thinking was, one, we needed to do Ethereum, we needed to prove we could do the smart contract. There was applicability and need to do it specifically for the KYC use case. We're really interested to see, as our banking clients take this on, as our banking clients continue to explore this, what other possibilities they may find for this solution. But again, our goal in this initial release of this was to try to harness a technology, direct it at a very specific place where we saw a use case, and see if our clients can drive and begin to find value there.
Because you've chosen to focus this on that set of customers, there is, of course, other things that sit in play here. You're reinvigorating your ISV partnerships over the next few days. Do you see ISVs being part of this engagement, or do you see this as being a direct bank-to-you engagement?
I think we certainly see a play for ISVs. I'm not at liberty to talk about any of this, but we've been talking to other ISVs as we've gone through this process and educating ourselves around blockchain. So I think there's certainly a play for other ISVs there.
How far forward have you thought? Because one of the biggest challenges for blockchain is not the speed we can get into a permission blockchain. We can now get into the tens of thousands of transactions per second. But it's the interledger conundrum, not just within Ethereum or just within Hyperledger, but Ethereum to Hyperledger to AN other. Have you started to consider that? Is that something that's already in the planning mode?
We began this looking at Ethereum. I don't think we've gone much beyond where the next sets of ledgers may take us. I think we're beginning to look at what those are. I'm still convinced that, again, a lot of these interplays and challenges from a technology perspective, which are all very real, they're also predicated on a whole bunch of organizational and having the right level of organizational agreements to even make those technology challenges necessary to solve. At a certain point, I have to get a bunch of banks to agree that they want to engage in this ledger together before I have to start dealing with interledger relationships. In my opinion, before we invest a lot of time in trying to solve these future problems, I want to make sure that there's a legitimate and, again, business value add approach to this solution for our banking clients. That's where we're focused in the near term.
Right at the beginning, you talked about the challenge of applicable technology, and blockchain's become that silver bullet that marketing teams love to run around and point at and say, it'll solve world hunger, it'll protect us from an alien invasion. The reality is that we're seeing very big funnels at the front. When we actually look at realistic blockchains that are out there, it's a little drip all the way through. When you're talking to customers, are they beginning to be realistic about where they start and where they're going to end up? Or are customers, just like a lot of the industry, getting sucked into the hype?
I think they're different customers in different phases. We tend to talk to very pragmatic clients. The clients that we tend to engage with are really focused on how can I use the technology, whether blockchain or AI or robotics or any of these sort of hype cycle-y things, to drive real value. Among our banking clients, I think I have seen the most mature asking and looking of these questions. And I think that blockchain has become most visible in the banking space, one, because of its origins in the cryptocurrency space. I also think, frankly, because the cryptocurrency growth, or hype, more like it, has a little bit more of a threat to the banking industry that it needs to address than, say, it does to some of our other industries. I'm hearing talk inside of other industries around, is there a potential to use blockchain technology to facilitate what I would call communications external to the enterprise, driving the collaboration around a common process or a common goal when work needs to be done by multiple entities outside the enterprise. Increasingly, organizations are realizing, put blockchain aside for a second, that many of the consumer experiences they want to deliver in order to be competitive actually have to be delivered in a multi-enterprise way. You look at how healthcare is delivered. Well, it actually takes the coordination of an insurance company and a pharmacy benefits manager and a medical device manufacturer and multiple primary care doctors who might work for multiple hospital organizations that are separate. And the facilitating of that, there's a potential for blockchain to be able to come in and help do that. But in all those cases, the first problem to solve is actually getting the organizations to agree that they want to work together to do it. I see ears perk up in our customers, like, oh, we're interested in blockchain. But I also see the realization among many of them that they still need to align against what is it they're actually trying to deliver and who do they need to partner with to deliver it before the blockchain layering in of the technology actually then can solve the problem.
We've been tracking about 8 or 9 different projects involving multiple banks and blockchain at the moment. We've also been watching what's going on with Maersk trying to resolve issues of customs. And those, as you say, are big grand projects, but actually, at a commercial level, the number of bodies involved aren't as big as you think, and the benefits are clear to those people involved. If you were to look forward a year, do you see blockchain becoming a product within, let's say, Pega Infinity?
If I look forward a year, honestly, probably not. I think over the next year, we're going to leverage our work here to see if we can get some clients to begin to bite and take advantage and play with it. So if I look for a year from now, if we're in the point that we're beginning to see some uptake and beginning of some of this moving towards real projects, we'll feel pretty good. I really think the next year, the technologies that we're investing, and I think you heard this today, where really feel like there's significant opportunities for our clients to drive better consumer results, better efficiencies, better revenue results, are things like leveraging AI, especially in the field of decision management, to make better decisions, leveraging robotics to drive better automation in the business. I just feel like those technologies, especially in the space where we play, which tends to be pretty consumer heavy, we tend to be focused, with the exception of some of the commercial banking spaces, largely in consumer focused industries. Those technologies can have in the next year, I think, a much more direct immediate impact than blockchain would.
Don, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, yeah.